As we have stated, we're thankful for your presence here today. We invite you to open God's Word and engage in a study of it with us today. We have been bringing a series of lessons in regard to exhortations from the Scriptures, and we want to consider 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. Last week we considered the exhortations in God's Word about the light, and this week we want to consider some of those exhortations in God's Word concerning darkness. Now, we want to remember how we've defined exhortation or to exhort. We define it as to call to one side, to entreat, to beseech, to urge, to propel, to urge forward, to urge someone to pursue a certain course of conduct, to advise, to warn, or to encourage. So as we look at the Scripture today, note what John, the apostle of love, states by inspiration in 1 John 1 and verse 5. It says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Now, last week we talked about God and being light and being associated with truth, with righteousness, with godliness, and the type of conduct that God wants us to have as children of light, as people of the light. He wants us to walk in the light and the truth of God's Word. Of course, the opposite of light is darkness. And the purpose of this lesson is for us to come to a greater understanding of what the Bible says about this subject of darkness and how it affects our lives or can affect our lives. So let's open our Bibles and let's begin this study in regard to these exhortations. And let's look at how God's Word, first of all, describes darkness. Darkness in the Scripture is always associated with sin. It's always associated with evil, with wickedness, with ungodliness, with death. That's the way darkness is depicted in the Scriptures. And if we go back to the Old Testament and we look there for some examples, if you turn back in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 10, we'll see that God sent a plague on the people of Egypt in Exodus 10 and verses 21 and 22. And then we want to note, you know, why did this take place? It says there in Exodus 10 verse 21, "Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days." Why did God bring this darkness on the Egyptians? How had they treated the children of Israel? They were wicked toward them. They abused Israel. They were evil in every way toward God's people. And what we need to realize is that God uses darkness as a way of separating. Darkness separates. And here, God's separating his people from the Egyptians, and he uses darkness in regard to that. Turn over to the book of Joshua. Joshua, the 24th chapter. And let's note there in Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse 5, and we're going to read down through verse 7. Joshua 24, beginning in verse 5, and we will read down through verse 7. He says, "Also I sent Moses and Aaron," and he's going to go back and talk about the plague he sent on Egypt. "And I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. Also I sent Moses and Aaron and plagued them." And he says, "And then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the sea. So they cried out to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them, and your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time. Not only did darkness separate, it separated good from evil, but it preserved the lives of the children of Israel there at the Red Sea when God once again put this darkness between the Egyptians and the children of Israel. There's always a separation between God's people and the Egyptians in this case, and that separation is darkness. The separation is that darkness. That which is holy is separated from that which is unholy. The righteous are separated from those who are unrighteous. The Egyptians were indeed in darkness, and the children of Israel were in light. Turn back over to Exodus, the 14th chapter, and look at verses 19 and 20. It says, "And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went with them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. And so it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to one, and to give light by night to the other, so that one did not come near the other all night long." This is just a more detailed explanation of how God separated and kept the Egyptians away from the children of Israel. The Egyptians were in darkness, and the children of Israel were those who were in the light. And there's always this separation in the mind of God between darkness and light. That's why God is always exhorting us, as we'll see later on, to avoid darkness. Listen to what the psalmist has to say. Turn over to Psalm 107 and look there at verse 10, and we'll read verse 10 and 11. Psalm 107, verse 10 and 11. Says, "Those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High God." Why does darkness come upon people? Why is it associated with people in the Bible? Here, the psalmist says that darkness is the end result when man chooses to rebel against God. In other words, God reveals what he would have us to do, what he would have his people to do, and then men refuse to do that. When we rebel against the truth, when we reject light, then we, therefore, are part of darkness. So rebellion always leads to darkness. So when I see in my life, in my heart, in my actions, in my mind, things that are rebelling against what God's word says, then I need to turn away from that, because if I don't, I'm going to be in darkness. I'm going to be associated with the darkness. Listen to the warnings of the wise man. Turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, and let's look there at verses 12 through 15. Note what the wise man here says. He says, "Deliver you from the way of evil, and from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths." Now, the wise man is here describing one, and he's describing one who goes on to his own paths. He chooses his paths. His paths are crooked. His paths are devious. They are darkness. He follows after perverse things. Well, who makes the choices, those choices, in our life? It's us. We have the opportunity to listen to what God has to say, to be willing to obey it. But if we refuse to do it, we'll be walking in the ways of darkness. We'll be delighting in perversity. We'll be delighting in, and our ways will be crooked. We will not be on that straight and narrow path that leads us to life. So we need to realize that God is willing for us not to have to walk in darkness. He is willing to provide light to us. And we talked about last week that his word serves as a light. It's like a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, as we noted last week in Psalm 119, verse 104. But we want to also know that we can choose to be brought out of darkness. Turn to Isaiah, the fifth chapter. Look at verse 20. Isaiah, the fifth chapter and verse 20. And note what the prophet here has to say about those who are not willing to follow God's way, or not willing to follow the things that God would have us to follow. We can make that choice, but notice what he says to the children of Israel in regard to what's awaiting them if they choose to rebel against God, if they choose to call that which is evil good. Look at Isaiah 5 and verse 20. It says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Well, what is awaiting those who call evil good? He told them misery. Misery is pronounced on those who would call evil good. Well, what happens today? What do people do today? They call evil good. They say if you are for abortion, you're pro-choice, but God is the one who makes the choice in giving life. You know, people today, if they are engaged in sexual immorality, fornication, or adultery, they don't say that. They just say, "Well, we're just living together." What are they trying to guess? They're trying to make that which is evil seem as if it's good or if it's okay by sugarcoating it or calling it some other name. Now, we need to realize that in the Gospel of John, in John the first chapter and verse 5, that darkness and light is spoken of there. And notice what we are taught there in John 1 and verse 5. It says, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." See, darkness doesn't see. The way of the world and the way of its wisdom and rebellion against God and disobedience to his command doesn't seek to comprehend the light. It just strives to avoid it. It doesn't want to be placed under the light. So that's kind of a description of darkness, that the way of the man that follows in darkness, it's evil. It doesn't matter what name you come up with to make it seem like it's not as bad today, it's still evil in the sight of God. And that's the thing we need to understand. Now, what about walking in darkness? There are exhortations of God's word, and the choice of whether we walk in the light or we walk in darkness is our choice. It's up to us. God leaves that choice up to us. Certainly he would have us to walk in the light, but we need to realize the consequences of choosing to walk in darkness. Turn over to Psalm 82 and look at verse 5. And one thing we need to understand is when we walk in darkness, we're not walking in the light of God's word, his truth, so we're walking basically in ignorance. We're walking without knowledge, without understanding, or we're rejecting the knowledge and understanding that God could grant to us. Look at Psalm 82 in verse 5. It says, "They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are unstable." So when we walk in darkness, we are walking without true understanding, and we're walking in ignorance, or we're either knowing those things and we're outright rebelling against God. But we are actually living our lives without making the application of the knowledge of God in our life. So how successful are we going to be? So we need to be careful about walking in darkness. Look in Psalm 18, Psalm 18 and verse 28. Psalm 18 and verse 28, the scripture states, For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. See, we need to be enlightened about darkness. We need to be enlightened about the dangers that lurk in the shadows, in the deep. You know, if you go into shopping areas and everything today and you park, all the shopping areas are well lit. Why? Why do they spend all that money on those lights out in those parking areas before you go into Walmart or Sam's? Because they don't want people walking in darkness. They don't want someone to be able to, for them not to see trouble or danger that's coming. So they put light out there, and that's what we need to understand. If we are without the knowledge of God, if we don't have light, then we're in complete darkness. So we're subject to be taken advantage of in regard to spiritual temptations and things of that nature. So we need to eliminate the darkness. God's willing to light our path. He's willing to do it. So we don't have to be in darkness, but we have to allow Him to do that. We have to be willing to allow Him to do that. Turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, and look in Psalm 107 at verse 14. Psalm 107 and verse 14. And it says, He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Just like God brought His people out of darkness, out of the shadow of death, He can also bring us out. God can deliver us out of darkness, and we can be people of light. But it's our choice if we want to stay in darkness. Look over in Isaiah, again at the prophet, what he has to say in Isaiah the 50th chapter and verse 10. Isaiah 50 and verse 10. And it says there, Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of His servant? Who walks in darkness and has not light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Why do men walk in darkness? Because they don't have the proper fear. They don't have the proper respect and reverence for the Lord. And they are not willing to place their trust in the Lord. See, if we're going to walk in the light, we have to trust in the Lord. We have to place our trust in Him. And the only escape from darkness is to quit trusting in ourselves or trusting in the wisdom of men and place our trust in God and in God alone. That's what we need to strive to do. But we know that men continue to walk in darkness. And the Apostle of Love, John, says and records the testimony of Christ in that regard, that the reason men walk in darkness was because they love darkness. They love darkness rather than the light. Go to John the 3rd chapter, John chapter 3. In there, beginning in verse 19, it says, And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Remember, Jesus, we talked about that last week in John 8, 12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The light's come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. So men walk in darkness because they love the darkness more than light. We were talking about that this morning in Bible study in regard to some of the things, in regard to the works of the flesh, and we were talking about one of them that's mentioned there, which is drunkenness. And it seems like some people that they live their life for, you know, to work all week and then to have that party attitude and drink and carouse and party all weekend long. That's their attitude in regard to living their life. They rather live in darkness. They love that. They're not willing to give that up. They don't want to give that up. But here, God contrasts and shows us the difference between walking in darkness, the consequences of that, and then walking in the light. The thing is, if we choose to walk in darkness in this life, then we're going to spend eternity in darkness in the life that is to come. Turn over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. And look at verse 4. 2 Peter 2 and verse 4 says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." In other words, if he didn't spare them, he's not going to spare us. And the end result of sin is being cast into hell, into the everlasting chains of darkness, to be in darkness. How do people who take people prisoners, and prisoners of war and things of that nature, how do they get people to break? One of the things that they do psychologically to break them down is they put them in darkness. That's a way that they use, along with a lot of other methods, of course, in regard to them being isolated. And we talk about that, you know, in regard to these things. Well, what about us as Christians? As Christians, we're not striving to live lives and walk in darkness. Now, we can be tempted to go into darkness, but what we need to understand is the very fact that we've heard the gospel, we believe the gospel, we've repented of our sins, that we've confessed our faith in Christ and been baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, and we're striving to be faithful and live faithful lives, means that we have come out of darkness. And God's word is clear about that. As a Christian, I've been delivered from the power of darkness. I do not have to live the rest of my life in darkness. I can live in a way that's pleasing unto the Lord. Look in Colossians, the first chapter, and look at verse 13. And I'm going to read verse 14 also. And here Paul writing to Christians says, "He has delivered us," and Paul's including himself, "he's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." Well, how did he do that? We did that by the sacrifice of Christ, verse 14, "in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." So as a Christian, if you're a Christian, if I'm a Christian, we've been delivered from the power of darkness by the blood of Christ. That's how we have been redeemed. The price has been paid for us. And since I've been delivered from darkness, I do not want to go back into darkness or to strive to have fellowship with people who are working in darkness. Look over to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 11. Ephesians 5 and verse 11. And Paul here, writing to Christians once again, says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." In other words, don't see how close you can get to darkness. Don't get near those unfruitful works, but rather expose them and stay away from them. Note them. Look in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. And note what God's word says. If we can just follow the simple instructions of God's word here in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, we as Christians would be a whole lot better off if we could just listen to these instructions that are inspired and given to us. Notice what he says in verse 14. "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness?" What's the obvious answer? It doesn't have any fellowship. "And what communion or what participation or sharing has light with darkness?" Not a bit. None. "And what concord has Christ with Belial?" Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their people, and they shall be my God. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." So Paul is warning Christians there at the church at Corinth to not be yoked together with unbelievers. He's saying, you know, what communion has this light with darkness and those things? And what communion does someone who's striving to be faithful have in regard to someone who has fallen away from their service to the Lord? Now, that doesn't mean we can't encourage people, whether they're not a Christian or whether they are a Christian who's become unfaithful, but we need to understand the importance here in regard to not being yoked together with them, because there is no communion between light and darkness. But oftentimes, these warnings are heard, but they're not heeded. And that's the important thing. We need to heed what God says. Look in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and note what Paul says about the brethren there at the church of Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, he says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness." So see, he's making that distinction. You're Christians. You're not people of darkness. "So that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light." See, if we're Christians, we're to love the light, and the light can't have association or communion with darkness. "You are all sons of light and of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." Since as Christians we're not in darkness, we should be watching. We should use sound judgment. We should not be overtaken as those who are in the darkness, because we should be prepared. When with the light, you'll be prepared. You won't. He's saying the second coming won't catch you by surprise if you live a life as children of light. And so it is with us today. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 2. And notice how the Christians are described there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. God's word states, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you," what? "Out of darkness into his marvelous light." As Christians, we are priests of God. The priests of God are always associated with the presence of God. The presence of God is associated with light. He says we've been called out of darkness into this marvelous light. So if we've been called out of it, why should we go back into it again? Why should we do that? God's saying, no, don't do that. Don't make that choice. That is not the right choice. That is not the wise choice for us to make. Look at 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verses 9 through 11 says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." You used to walk in this darkness. Such were some of you. He says, "But you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." So the unrighteous, those in darkness, will not inherit the kingdom of God. So what about those who are children of light? They will inherit the kingdom of God. Those who are not associated with these things. And we realize that fellowship with God is something that is essential. And fellowship with God is something that is spoken of in regard to us as being associated with light. We're not in fellowship if we're associated with darkness. Look there in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Because, see, we're practicing darkness. That's what we're practicing. Look at chapter 2 in verses 9 through 11. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded him. So in order to avoid being in darkness, in order for us to avoid walking in darkness, what do we consistently have to do? Consistently have to show our love for God. And we, by showing our love for God, we show our love for one another. Well, these are just a few of the exhortations that God's Word gives us about darkness. But we understand from this lesson, the lesson that we looked at last week, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we're going to be children of God, we have to be associated with the light, not with the darkness. And darkness is always associated with sin, with evil, with wickedness, with unrighteousness, and it's linked to death in the scripture. The question is, how are we walking? Are we walking in darkness? One thing's for sure. We're either walking in darkness or we're walking in the light. Those are the two options. How are we walking? How are we walking? If we're strayed from the truth and we're going toward the darkness, then what do we need to do? We need to repent. We need to make things right in our life with the Lord. And remember, the scripture in Colossians 1:13 says, they had been delivered from the power of darkness. Well, we can be delivered from the power of darkness today. We're Christians. We just turn back to the Lord and we ask him to forgive us, repent, and pray. And if you desire for us to pray with you or for you, we'd be glad to do that. But if you are in the darkness and never come to the light, then you need to come acknowledging that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in him, and being willing to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Remember, Colossians 1:14 says that they were redeemed by the blood. That's how they had the forgiveness of sins. Need that blood applied to your life. Need to be buried with Christ. No longer to be in darkness, to be raised in newness of life. The old man, the man that walked after darkness, is put to death. The new man walks in that newness of life. If you need to respond to the gospel in any way, make that need known while we stand and while we sing.